Welcome. I'd ask you to take your seats, please. Welcome, bonjour tous et toutes. Merci d'être venus en si grand nombre. Testimony, I think, to the way you feel about this topic and the importance that you place on it. My role as MC today essentially makes me the timekeeper. So you will see me bobbing up and down because we have an incredibly ambitious program this afternoon, and we're really moving through it so as to move towards the discussion period at the end. To that end, s'il vous plaît, fermez vos cellulaires, or at least turn the ringtone down to silent. And I'd actually like to turn now to introduce our principal and vice chancellor, Professor Heather Munro Bloom, to be followed by Professor Anthony C. Massey, Provost of McGill University.
Bonjour, bienvenue, chers collègues, invités, distingués. C'est un programme très important pour pas seulement McGill, mais le monde des universités et des académiques. For us at McGill, it's a wonderful opportunity to join as a community to talk about academic freedom and some of the contemporary themes that are arising around it, and as well to interact with colleagues from elsewhere in the country in particular on this theme. So thank you all for joining us. Special thank you to our panelists, and I'd like to add my own personal words of thanks to Provost Tony Massey and Professor Natalie Cook and the Planning Committee who put this event together. I'm going to speak very briefly. I know I stand between you and our distinguished guests, and the purpose of the day really is to pose questions and points of view about this theme. I did want to say, of course, and this maybe is the McGill story, does it or doesn't it go without saying that academic freedom is the fundamental value on which all else in the academy is based? We certainly assume it. And the fact that McGill has not had a formal statement on academic freedom should not be taken as a sign of neglect or indifference. In fact, we've had about 190 years of engagement on the theme and expression of the theme. And if you take into account that history has context, back in the early 1900s, colleagues at McGill actually tried to create a North American conference on the theme with an agenda, and there was no uptake to it. People didn't think it was an important issue. And back in that period of the 1920s, 1930s, the theme emerged as, where does Canada sit, or where do Canadian universities sit against a Western tradition of German, British, and American approaches to academic freedom? It seems to me, as you look at the history, that many of these themes and questions remain completely contemporary. And so for McGill, I think one of the goals is, do we need a statement? Will a statement be limiting of our expression? Is the fact that we've had an engaged community, both institutionally, nationally, and internationally, on what academic freedom means for over 100 years, does that mean we're doing well with things as they stand? Or is the world changing? Is the academy changing? Are there threats to the academy that mean we should think about it anew, assert it anew, express it as a formal part of the fundamental value underpinning what we do and some of the conditions within which the academy operates? I guess as principal, when I look at our history and I look at what McGill has done in supporting the freedom of professors and academics to follow their ideas and their interests and their curiosity in the work that they do in the context of the academy, my wish would be that however we land, we make it our own at McGill. and we own it going forward, and we stay deeply engaged on it. So with that, I'll simply turn things back, I think, to you, Natalie. And I'm very interested to see what our own engagement and discussion is this afternoon. Merci infiniment à vous tous. Merci encore à nos présentateurs.
Thank you. I think our provost probably needs no introduction, but I'll introduce Professor Anthony Massey, who is professor of sociology. He's also the host for this event.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon and welcome to this conference on academic freedom, which is really what I hope is the first of a series of conferences organized by the Office of the Provost on themes of real importance to the university. I got to choose the first topic, and I did choose academic freedom. So thank you all for being here and for your willingness to participate by listening to different perspectives and asking relevant questions in what I think the principal indicated was a somewhat overdue discussion of a topic of fundamental significance, not only to McGill, but to all universities, and especially to large research universities. Let me acknowledge and thank the conference participants for taking the time out of their busy schedules to provide their considerable expertise, and to the organizers and the help that Natalie got from a variety of people, both in my office and across the campus, both student groups, student individuals, and members of the faculty and our administrative staff who lent their time and effort to making sure that this would be a valuable and productive afternoon. Nous sommes bien heureux que vous êtes avec nous à cette occasion. Bienvenue à tout le monde. As the provost of McGill, I have a lot of opportunity to offer words of welcome and launch a variety of events on campus, on our campuses, actually, and to participate actively in the academic, administrative, and extracurricular life of our university. However, the chance to host this event that will give us the opportunity to discuss academic freedom represents for me one of the most satisfying aspects of my job. McGill is a research-intensive, student-centered university with a commitment to excellence when judged against the highest international standards and with an enduring sense of public purpose. As Principal Monroe Bloom noted, McGill has no official statement on academic freedom. But academic freedom is the cornerstone and the fundamental value of this university's mission in the discovery and dissemination of knowledge. Whatever operational definition is given to academic freedom, we do recognize it as a freedom somewhat different from other freedoms in a democratic society, in that it is a freedom specific to the academy. Otherwise, why would we need the adjective academic in front of the freedom? Teaching and scholarship at universities are assessed by reference to professional standards that sustain the pursuit of truth and the achievement of knowledge. But we need to reinforce the distinctiveness of the space that is the university and the rights of professors within it in terms of their teaching and scholarly duties. It is a special freedom that we need to preserve. However, academic freedom is defined, conceptually or operationally, we all recognize that the tenure system is an essential element in safeguarding that special freedom. Academic freedom implies professorial autonomy, but it must also entail professional responsibility in conducting research, in teaching, in supervising students, and in other aspects of a professor's life as a member of the faculty. These are demanding times for universities, with nearly every aspect of higher education being influenced by a competitive global landscape, with what could be now described as seismic shifts in information and communication technologies, coexisting with rising operational costs and increasingly insufficient funding, as well as pressure. Academic freedom normally has been associated with our liberal arts and sciences, but increasingly, large research universities have professional programs, and the imposition in the way in which programs are designed or the qualifications of the individuals who teach in them are determined by accrediting bodies and professional organizations. These and other pressures require universities to explore and to be open to innovative ways of advancing discovery and creativity, improving teaching and learning, and serving our many constituents, while at the same time becoming more efficient and effective in the way we work. I'd like to be clear about one thing. Despite all of the challenges that I just listed, we in the Academy must ensure and sustain our commitment to the concept and practice of academic freedom as key to our mission and central to our core values, and we must find practical protections for the expression of academic freedom on our campuses. Academic freedom is a vast and complex topic with a history of scholarly and popular debate that continue to this day. It has possible applications to countless distinct and sometimes unforeseen circumstances. A discussion of academic freedom therefore necessarily includes a discussion about the purposes and the functions of the university itself. Every time we in the Academy address the issue of academic freedom, we take on a big responsibility. Let me close by thanking all of you for participating in today's event. I look forward to our mutual investigation of this subject. I will listen attentively, and I will have the opportunity to provide some concluding remarks at the end of the day's deliberations. Let me thank you all again and return the podium to Natalie Cook. Thank you.
Thank you very much.